Well, anyway, quickly, we've got to be really quick this morning. It is the round 20 edition, the final round of the Saturday morning VFL football show for season 2009. To think we started all the way back when, in round one, back on April 11th, Jim. It's been a long journey, but a fun one. We've probably seen some of the highlights like never before in season 2009. Yeah. We had some great finishes, and we were talking about it yesterday off air, and we'll go through some of our highlights in season 2009. Yep. But we have to kick off the final round of the Saturday morning VFL football show, and joining us on the line once again is John Hook, and we thank him so much for giving up his time this morning, because he'll be jet-setting to some sunshine. He's not worried about the conditions this morning, Jim. He'll be enjoying some of those great conditions up at the Gold Coast. Morning, John.
Good morning, fellas.
And welcome to the Saturday morning VFL football show. We're just reminiscing. It is the final round, and what a fantastic season it has been for the VFL.
Yeah, I think the ladder indicates that. You know, it can be a whole finishing order after this week's round, so that's probably a good indication. It's been very competitive for most of the sides in it. So, I agree with you. It's been a pretty good season of football.
Well, I mean, it's been one of those seasons where there's been a little bit of, teams performing above themselves. I guess if you're looking at the form going into the season, we've seen new alignments succeed in the Casey Scorpions and the Box Hill Hawks return to some form, but the mainstays in, you know, Williamstown, Port Melbourne and the regional team still surviving there, North Ballarat doing so well. So it's been such an even competition, and the weeks have really thrown some great results. I mean, we've seen the Coburg game finish after the siren, and there's been a couple of games finished within, you know, 2 or 3 points. So you couldn't really ask for anything more from the on-field perspective.
No, as I said, I think it's been, quite rightly, it's been a very even competition, and I think there's some great games for the final round too. I mean, when you look at traditional rivals in Williamstown and Port Melbourne playing today, you're basically playing for your probably second spot and possible home final. So that game should be a great game, I should imagine.
Now, the competition itself, it's taken an interesting turn. We've seen plenty of fixture changes, John, but a great partnership between the CFA really start to blossom, and both, I guess, the VFL brand and the CFA cause has really been promoted during the second half of the season, and it's been a fantastic initiative that's really got off the ground.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I think fixture changes, obviously with our partnership with the ABC too. I mean, we fixture the TV games the month out, just so we can really try and get the best product on the TV for the people out there. You're right about the game we took up the mall with, was fantastic, you know. I think all those initiatives are good. And I think to have that bit of flexibility, which we can do in our fixture, is important too. So, although we've got to obviously meet those requirements of the ABC, I think that it gives when you have that little bit of flexibility, it helps a bit too. So, yeah, it's been very good.
Do you think having the ABC a little bit more flexible and having the best games on TV has been great, but I think it's also helping the other games with a bit of promotion now, seeing some real quality football with not the biggest attendances at some of the games, but a general rise in the numbers actually coming through the gates. There's been some really good things happening with some of those VFL clubs and the initiatives to get some more fans through the gates.
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, I suppose, you know, the whole culture of footy's changed a bit in Victoria. You know, what we probably knew as the old VFA and the VFL days, you know, Saturday against Sunday football and all that. But, you know, that's changed, and we've got to understand that and accept that. But I think we have with the standard of football, I mean, you cannot complain about the standard of football, what the VFL delivers, and it delivers, I think, two important things for football in Victoria, in that it gives a pathway for the kids who are still aspirations to play AFL football, and we can talk about that in a minute. But and the other one is obviously it provides a great vehicle for the AFL clubs whose players are playing in the competition for their development and things like that. I mean, when you've got a good standard of football, that helps them too. So it plays a very important part in the structure of footy in Victoria, and we shouldn't underestimate that. And I think the product is if you want to see a good game of footy, if you just want to go and see a pure game of football locally, it's as good as any.
Well, it definitely is, and I think it's I think you're mentioning some of the young talent going through this week's records are a great indication of just where this competition has grown, with because they're talking about the round Fothergill medal, which is the medal that goes to the player most likely to get drafted. But there's also a great article on just the debutants that have made their way. And a lot of clubs have actually had to rely on these kids coming through and have an impact at senior level. So I think no better year than season 2009. We've seen a new crop of juniors come through and really find their feet at senior level.
Yeah, look, that's one of the things. I mean, Peter Swab and I obviously come from AFL background. I mean, I can see the importance of trying to make sure the VFL competition is seen as another feeder ground. If we can do that and get more AFL clubs acknowledging that, I mean, that's going to even help our competition even more. I think it's with the two new franchises coming in the AFL, I think they have to look at that. And I've seen a bigger number of AFL recruiters at VFL games than I have ever seen. So I think that's a testimony to that, that they've got the talent pool has got to get a bit deeper, if you like. And so they've got to look at these sort of areas like the VFL competition, which does provide a good standard of football. I mean, if you're just talking about some backward competition, well, then it's a bit different. But when you're looking at a good standard, if you get young kids playing or young players playing well consistently in this standard of football against listed AFL players, well, it's probably a good indicator that they might be good enough to be considered as a rookie or even listed on the AFL list through the draft system.
Well, and I guess this takes me to the next point, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to have a chat to you, John. Gold Coast, season 2010. You mentioned how the VFL's been flexible this year, and the partnership with the ABC's grown stronger. Massive opportunity for the VFL to really expand their brand next year with the focus of the Gold Coast coming through. I see it as a great thing for the competition going forward. It might just disrupt us for 1 year, but I think it just gives an opportunity to really showcase some of the talent of the juniors coming through playing in the VFL. How do you see this going forward? And I guess going up there today to watch the TAC Cup really does, expose you to with how good this football club's going.
Well, look, I think we're up here just have see our last opportunity with the TAC Cup, and it'll be a great game because you've got Gold Coast playing Geelong Falcons, the top side Geelong Falcons, and Gold Coast are sitting second at the moment. So just have a look at all the facilities up here. We're meeting with the Gold Coast CEO pretty soon to just have a look at some alternative playing venues, because the indications are they want to come into the VFL next year, and we're just a few things we've got to sort out, but, you know, their preferred option is to play in the VFL. We see that as quite rightly what you said. I think it gives great promotion to the VFL competition. You know, when you even think of, like, you take, like, Carmichael Hunt playing at maybe down at Coburg in Melbourne, don't you think that's going to create interest? All those things, any publicity that you think that positive publicity is going to be good for the competition. I think we've been flexible in the VFL and also the TAC. This is part of the part we do play in the development of footy overall, not just in our own state, but so with the AFL, you know, we'll have West Sydney coming into the TAC next year the same way as the Gold Coast did this year, and hopefully they'll be in the VFL competition to follow the same path as the Gold Coast team into the VFL in 2011.
Now, John, there's a bit of thought that, I mean, the introduction of the Gold Coast is going to put a threat to the AFL clubs due to their draft picks allocations. I think it's just going to mean the you know, you mentioned the AFL recruiters. These guys are just going to have to work harder and really go out into the VFL and other top-quality state competitions to find the next talent coming through. It might not just be as spoon-fed as it is coming out of the national championships.
Well, I think that's the point I tried to make earlier, is that... I've obviously been in the system a long time through the Hawthorne connection, but I've always felt that it's about opportunities half the time. Look, let's be honest. If you give a kid an opportunity, they've got to get onto a list to get a chance at AFL level. Now, if they don't get onto that, well, they've got no way they can play.
Exactly.
So I think what it will do is, because of the extra franchises that will, it'll have to create, they'll take a punt on a few more kids out of the VFL, I'm sure of that. I'll be very surprised if it doesn't. And I don't think, I think there's kids running around the VFL, given an opportunity, would do all right. I mean, we only have to look at the success of Nahas and Pickin this year. Now, and if we take the Pickin case, and I applaud the Williamstown Football Club for this, I mean, they helped sponsor that bloke's
position on the list.
Position on the rookie list. Because Almond, you know, obviously they're a reasonably, you know, good financial position, and they're a terrific club that, you know, saw that initiative, had the faith in the kid to say, well, give him an opportunity, this kid could play league footy, and they've been proven to be so right. He hasn't played, he's played all year. Played very well in a side that's, you know, in the top four. So, it's about opportunities. I'm not saying everyone, but I think these kids are given a chance. Could equip themselves okay in AFL 11. I think the fact that they've got to go a little bit wider now, cast the net a little bit wider, because, you know, there's 12, 17-year-olds. I mean, they'll probably lose about, I'd say, 6 to 7 possible kids out of Victoria who will go onto the Gold Coast list as their first, which they can select 12, 17-year-olds. We'll lose a few. So that just, there's 12 goes, so there's 6 go out of this year's pool. So they've got to supplement that with someone. And, so I think, you're right. They will have to look at that. And I think they are looking at that. And, there's been a greater list of, kids invited from the VFL into the state testing day, which will help them, you know, maybe either reinforce or maybe could even do the other way, but that's the nature of the competition and the...
Well, that's the opportunity that exists, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, if kids are fair digger and they look after themselves, and they'll be right.
John, just, I know you're busy and tight for time. Final two questions. Is round 20, season 2009, the last time we see the Bendigo Bombers?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's still discussions on that. I mean, we'd like to... I think everyone is working towards them surviving. Whether they survive in the same format, as with reserves of that, we're not really sure at this stage. But look, I think everyone is trying to work towards them staying in the competition of a pathway through Bendigo. That should unravel in the next week or two, I should imagine.
And we spoke to Peter Harley, I think last week or the week before on the Footy Show. He's given us a target of 15,000 supporters needed at Telstra Dome. Can it be done?
Well, I hope so. I mean, look, I think anyone who went to the games last year, the atmosphere was fantastic, but the realistic, and I don't know if Peter probably would have said that, but you've got to be realistic. You need the crowds there to justify that investment into that venue.
Yeah.
If we can't do that, I mean... We can't support that if we can't get the crowds there to at least make a break even. Well, we're not looking to make a profit, but we can't afford to lose on grand finals.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of money has to go into running this competition and attack competition and that. So, I mean, you can't afford to do that. So, anyway, we're hoping. I mean, I hope the second year people are a lot more aware of it. There's a lot more out there with the tax show that's been on Channel 9 that's been a real winner. Having a tax play as a curtain raiser to the VFL, probably closer together, the game's not a bigger break. I think they're all positive, so hopefully we will, you know. I really say all the Victorian supporters from the TAC and the VFL get to the grand final, because it was a good night, there's no doubt about it.
John, thank you so much for giving up your time this Saturday morning to join us here on the Saturday Morning VFL Footy Show. I'll get in contact with you before grand final night, but thanks again for giving up your time, and have a great weekend on the Gold Coast.
Thanks very much, Alan. Goodbye.
Thank you. AFL Victoria CEO, John Hook, joining us on the line there, getting in preparation for his trip up to the Gold Coast. I know where I'd like to be going, Jim, and that's not in your car to the football, in a Jetstar to the Gold Coast. But anyway... That's not the luck of KC Radio, is it?
You'd rather sit next to someone who's going to Queensland than going to Port Melbourne.
Yes, exactly right.
I'd share those feelings.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, at least we first time we've agreed. It's taken us to round 20 to do so. Look, big round of VFL action. We'll go through all the games for round 20. This is the final round. We have to quickly go through and just do the round 19 results. What guest do we have on this morning? The Rustler?
Yes, I contacted Ryan O'Connor yesterday, and we're going to speak to Ryan O'Connor at 9:15, so that's been put back to about 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't make contact with Adrian Heckmott, but okay. I did leave him a message, and also Andy Lovell.
Okay. Well, Adrian will probably be getting ready for the big game between Essendon and Hawthorn. Hasn't that been a controversial week there with...
Yep. We couldn't speak to Craig McRae. He's probably flying home from Perth as we speak.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know all, but Craig McRae definitely went to Perth last night with the Richmond team.
Okay.
Because they're not the Richmond Tigers anymore. They showed very little.
Port Melbourne played Sandringham, and Port Melbourne once again were challenged at three-quarter time, but found the resolve to win. Heath O'Farrell kicked 6 as the Borough won 18-11, 119. Against the Zebras, 13-10, 88. Sortner kicking 2 goals. You would imagine now with Podsy Adley on the sidelines, he will win another. Foster Miller.
Number 8? Yeah, is that number 8?
I think it's number 9.
Number
9? Oh, 8 or 9.
Great effort. We'll call the Miller Sortner medal one day.
They're going to have to change it to rather than giving him a medal, have to give him rings. He'll have one for every finger.
Yeah.
But 71 goals so far for Sortner. Not everyone's favourite, but we love him here at KC Radio. And the leading full forward again in the competition, Collingwood versus Frankston. Well, we were hoping for a better game from Frankston after their performance against the Zebras the week before, but no, they came out and did not fire a shot. Collingwood have secured their spot in the finals now with a strong, 12-goal victory against the Dolphins. Collingwood, 17 goals, 21, 123, defeated Frankston, 7 goals, 5, 47. The Saturday night game, under lights. Give us your thoughts on the game, Jimbo, down there at Chirnside Park.
If Werribee were playing this sort of football in round one, they'd be favourites for the flag. But unfortunately, they played, very good football late in the season.
Considering they didn't have Nathan Thompson or Alan Opst against Brad Ottens and a few big boys.
Yep, their final quarter was as good as a final quarter I've seen this year.
Well, they booted 9 goals and Geelong didn't score. Werribee, 21 goals, 18, 144, defeated the Cats 10-2, 62, so that might give a little bit of hope for Simon Atkins to keep his job in season 2010. Now, we're talking about great finishes and great matches of football and dramatic and emotions coming out, but really, I don't think I've seen a game where you saw a team like the KC Scorpions with their backs to the wall, with only two players from the Melbourne alignment playing, a couple of first gamers, a couple of players under 10 games, a new crop of players coming through. Peter German has taught this team how to win football. In battling conditions, you thought the KC Scorpions at quarter time might be in some trouble only bringing up the 4 points. But when they restricted the Williamstown to 2-7, you kind of knew the KC Scorpions had that that ability to win. I think it showed Williamstown's lack of mental...
Mental toughness,
under the pressure of...
it's a cliche, but it was true on Sunday.
Because KC Scorpions, a lot of their bodies were a little bit smaller, and they were going in just as hard and creating a contest and doing the right things for their teams. When Peter Folkes got that ball behind centre on the social club side...
Wasn't that one of the most magnificent kicks you've ever seen?
The social club side of the
ground.
I only
saw the first bit. I didn't see the second bit because of the position I was in.
The ball just went through from about 85...
It bounced.
Longer than Brent Maloney's shot on goal against Carlton last week. It would have gone 80 metres, and he won in the game. And just the joy from those young KC Scorpions players. Young McCready, well... If you've seen a player really go in and battle it against some tougher opposition, McCready did well. Stockdale, once again, in the best. I thought he was gallant. Tim Moore, well, there's probably a chance for Moore to maybe even sneak a spot in the VFL Team of the Year. Silvani was good again. But Williamstown, yep, it's a game they shouldn't have lost. They've lost top spot now and probably won't regain it. So that means they'll have to face Williamstown like they did last year in the finals, I think, from memory. Bendigo Bombers, well, John Hook said there's still some life left. And maybe the possibility of something being played in Bendigo next year in the VFL.
Let's hope.
They went against North Ballarat, and the Roosters, well, they just really just flexed their muscle once again. 21 goals, 16, 142. Defeated Bendigo 10-10, 70. Disappointing result there for Bendigo. They've been a little bit more competitive than that in recent weeks. Well, Coburg, there's the terrible season, part of the season continued, hasn't it? Because
the whole Richmond Coburg Football Club is closed down for the winter, for the summer.
6-9-45 got beaten by the Northern Bulllands, 23 goals, 12, 150. So Yeah, strong performance there by the Bull Ants, who now sit in fourth position, separated by percentage. Let's go through the ladder leading into round 20. If Brycey wants to give Rhino a call, we'll speak to him now because we've gone past 9:30. The ladder at round 19, and we'll go through this in more detail when we have a bit of a preview of round 20, where teams can finish. But at this stage, it's North Ballarat on top with 52 points. Then it's Williamstown and Port Melbourne separated by percentage. So a win to either side this afternoon, we'll see them finish in second and third. The Bull Ants, well, their topsy-turvy season seems to be going back up now with 11 wins. They're in front of Box Hill. The Casey Scorpions have 10 wins. They'll probably get themselves a home final finishing in sixth. Then it's Collingwood and Geelong. Collingwood definitely deserve their spot in the finals. Geelong have done enough but would need to improve on last week's performance. The Zebras have missed out. Coburg Tigers, Werribee Tigers, Frankston and the Bendigo Bombers have all missed out in finals action in season 2009. We mentioned Nick Saltner, and we'll go through some of the reserves results here because they're closing in on the season as well. I think their final start this week maybe or next.
I think so, because the preliminary finals are when the grand final's on for the reserves.
Well, the Box Hill Hawks and Williamstown are tied there on top of the ladder. The Box Hill Hawks could finish on top. Coburg, North Ballarat, Frankston and Sandringham. So three of the teams that aren't playing in the VFL senior finals have actually got teams playing in the reserve grade grand final. So definitely keep your eyes and peeled to the Victorian Football League website for all those details of the VFL reserve grade competition. It does finish a week before, and it looks like Dean Galea, I'd imagine, here will finish on top of the VFL reserve goal-kicking ladder with 43 goals. Pretty good effort considering he's played a few games at senior level.
He's been very handy as a goal sneak for quite a number of years now.
I thought he played well last week, Dean Galea. No, we got the no deal. Got the no deal from Brycey. Well, where are you going, Jim? Just walk out and leave me in the studio? Okay. Well, that's just throwing a bit of a spanner in the works. It always does here on the Saturday morning VFL football show. Hopefully you're enjoying your breakfast. You only get three more weeks with us on a Saturday morning after this one.
We do.
So you better be enjoying it out there in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. But let's go through the Thuthergill round medal, Jimbo. Now, this is awarded to the best player who they think has the possible chance of being drafted as a under-21-year-old. Some of the past winners, obviously Robin Nahas, Aaron Davey. And I think Shane Valenti actually won one as well. So there's been a couple of players come through this list and make it into the AFL. And they've gone through and listed some teams and players that might be a chance of picking up this medal. It will be awarded towards the end of the finals. Now, we'll start off with the Bendigo Bombers. And we'll do this in two ways, Jim, because they've actually debuted the most amount of juniors in season 2009.
Yeah, they have.
Now, that rustling in the background is Jim with his papers. He's not quiet about it at all, listeners. I apologise. There's not a breeze coming through KC Radio. It's just Mr. Hines. So they've had 23 debutants who have racked up a total of 112 games. And Dane Colson-Hofaker. I had some troubles with his name in season 2009.
Yep. Should have a nickname for him.
Colson-Hofaker. He's picked up 9 games. So so that's a pretty good effort there by the Bendigo Bombers. No real standouts there. I would have thought Lachlan Delahunty may have been a name that they may have put forward there. He's been pretty impressive in season 2009. They finish on the bottom of the ladder, so it's a bit hard to say where the talent lies there. There's probably some really good junior talent that's under some pressure due to the fact they don't have the support around them. I know Jack Redpath is one player who's going forward to the AFL draft camp screening, whatever they've got, state screenings they have for players. Potential draft picks. Box Hill Hawks, Jimbo, we haven't seen enough of them really in season 2009, but Ed Curno from the former Sydney Swan has picked up 17 games so far in season 2009 to lead the way.
That's a great debut year, 17 games.
Luke Bruce is a player that I think has been pretty impressive in the games we have seen him, but definitely Ed Curno would be the name I'd be putting amongst there for the Box Hill Hawks. They've had 16 debutants this year with 74 games racked up between them, so they've been definitely helping a team that's on the verge of the top four. The Casey Scorpions, well, they've had plenty of new talent debut in season 2009.
How many of them were last week?
A couple of them. I think Josh Bolton played his first game last week, and just going through the Gareth Snow picked up his second game. Wade Lees was good. He's only played 4 games. I thought Blazer has a pretty big body for VFL level. Peter Folks continues to impress. So, look, they're in a pretty healthy position going forward, the Casey Scorpions. 22 debutants in 108 games. If you had to choose one there, I'd probably have to go Peter Folkes. He's
after last week's finishing off.
No, but I just think he's been getting better and better every week. He must be a chance to find a rookie list somewhere. The Coburg Tigers, your mob, they've had 12 debutants for only 40 games. So that's probably been a little bit of a disappointing considering where the Coburg Tigers finished, that obviously a lot of their experienced players haven't been good enough to win them games of football, Jim.
Mm-hmm. So very disappointing.
Without Ryan O'Connor coming on the line, we can give them a bit of a crack at the moment. But, I don't even... Who have you... Nick Catapan, we saw him a couple of times. No one really impressed, I thought. The young Alroy Gilligan, who's listed at the Richmond side, cost them that game against the Box Hill Hawks, so he lost my favour there. So I don't really think anyone from the Coburg Tigers...
He was in the... caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, the poor guy. He had the ball on the half-forward flank, had nobody in front of him, and he had the option of kicking it or holding on to it. He took the option of kicking it and consequently gave the ball away, and they lost the game because of that turnover.
Now, I think this list has been really hampered due to the fact Collingwood have had hardly any injuries this year. They've had 10 debutants for 64 games. Jamie Sheehan's probably been one of their better players coming through the ranks, but a lot of their players are obviously Collingwood listed, so we'll move on from there. The Dollies, Frankston, well, they've had 16 debutants for 89 games. My man Ben Crowe, he's picked up 7. He's good. Yep. Yeah, I reckon if I was a recruiting manager, I'd be getting Ben Crowe down to do a pre-season. He's quick and big and attacks the football and takes no prisoners, and you know, between him and Michael Hibbard, they've really
been good.
And Paul Rogash as well, he's picked up 13 games now. And
Ryan Hobbs has been good most of the season.
Yeah.
In the games we've seen him.
Yep, definitely. And young Aaron Purves, he's been another good player. So
Levi Casbolt.
Yep, well, he was on...
The name Levi's creeping into football recently.
He was the 23rd player that made his debut this year from the Dandong Stingrays. Plenty of raps on Levi. Likely draftee for sure. Geelong. Well, for a team playing in the finals and an AFL-listed team, to get 15 debutants probably show more of the injury base that Geelong have been facing this year. But, look, some of those kids have come on really well. A little bit disappointing last week, I thought, against Werribee. They had a good chance to flex the muscle. Ben Raidme, he's been one of my favourites this year. Adam Varco seems a bit of fire in his belly. Jeremy Layla, he's battled hard. Casey Tutungi.
Yes.
One of the better names in the VFL. He's picked up 12 games now, so going forward. And Benny Johnson, he picked up a big bag of 10, I think, throughout the year. So 102 games there for the Cats. They're in a healthy position going into the finals. Up to the North, you want to add anything here? Or just want
North Ballarat.
You want me to just keep going
through? No, you're doing good without my intervention.
Well, they've once again been pretty lucky not to have many injuries. As you heard in the preview, Cam Richardson has been a player that's burst onto the scene with 2 late goals against the Pies to finish them off. We always love giving them to the Pies. And the North Ballarat side have had 10 debutants for 42 games. Now, a lot of those debutants are actually young kids coming through that 23rd player rule there for North Ballarat. We've spoken to Jared Fitzgerald at length about those players coming through. The Northern Bullants... Well, you may have expected a couple of more players to come through the Northern Bullants this year, but only 4 debutants for 6 games. The biggest name, or the name that's really burst onto the scene this year that might sneak a rookie list spot at Carlton or somewhere, is Wes Bilney. Playing in reserves at the moment, though, Wes. I don't know what he's done to get out of favour there. Port Melbourne. For a standalone club, you would have thought they would have got more than seven new kids through the competition. No, only 41 games. Matt Suckling's been good. Phil Raymond's been absolutely fantastic this year of 17 games. Hasn't he come on? Matt Wall, he'll be good with a few more years at senior level football. Josh Capone, he's another kid that I thought could have played some more games. And Heath O'Farrell, well, he got me on the football show this year, Heath, so I can't complain about him kicking one of the goals of the year. We kicked 6 of them last week as well. So we spoke to Gary Ayres about where him and young Wayne Schultz sit, and I definitely think that that forward line looks a lot more potent with Heath O'Farrell in it, Jim.
Fancy you getting on the footy show by a goal kick, and it wasn't even the goal that was the attraction to the footy show.
No, well, just one of the highlights of season 2009, getting taken out of me by Billy Brownless. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Sandringham, 9 debutants for 45 games. Tom Simkin and Luke Miles, and Kilda listed players playing well there. Ricky Fafaro, he was a young under-18 star, I think, Ricky. He only played 2 games. Will Johnson, he played more than one. Had a shocker against Frankston, but I think he's played some good football. Has a big body, and wouldn't be surprised if he puts his hand up to arrive somewhere, maybe at a rookie list or definitely playing senior football at Sandringham in years to come. One team that has rolled the dice in season 2009, which you have to applaud for Simon Atkins in your last year of your contract and, you know, faced with some, situations that you wouldn't plan. Nathan Thompson going down with his heart problem has been a situation there, and Marty Pask unable to find his feet at senior level. Tim Bongo, he hasn't set the world on fire, so it's allowed some opportunities for some kids to come through. And they've had 94 games from 17 players debuting in season 2009. Joel Magnabosco, I think, has been good. Will Martinello's been good. David Kasavicic has been good. So there's been some good kids coming through. Ben Spate, I think if you're a North Melbourne fan, you'll be warm to know his form's been pretty good this year. And finally, wrapping up the debutants and the round Fothergill medalists for season 2009, Williamstown have had 12 debutants for 42 games. And Xavier Gotch, the son of the coach, he's been pretty good. He's kicked, he's played 11 games, and I think he's been pretty handy. And Dylan Joyce has been another one coming through. Luke Caratelli was good to find his spot onto the senior list in season 2009.